Thanks so much for joining me.
Good morning.
For those who aren't familiar with the show, tell me a little bit about the story.
The story of the Amen Corner is set in Harlem in 1965. It tells, or rather it focuses on an African-American woman who has started a small church in a storefront in Harlem after migrating from the South with her son. She has been in this position as pastor for 10 years, has raised her son, who is now 18, in the church, who plays the piano in the church. But what the congregation does not know is that she has a secret past. And in the past, she was married to a man who was a jazz musician and an alcoholic. And they had a child who died. And when the child died, she left him and moved to New York. And in the story of the play, he shows up one Sunday because he's also dying of tuberculosis and wants to reconnect with her and his son to validate their relationship, the quality of what they shared when they were husband and wife. And, of course, that sends a scandal through the entire church, and a lot of things are revealed, and in the end, she loses her church.
Why did you choose this show?
Well, one of the reasons I chose the show is because it is very dear to my heart. I grew up in a small storefront church in Kansas City. My mother was a pastor. I play the piano in the church, and so the story is very, very close to my heart. I played the role of the son when I was in college, almost 40 years ago, and have wanted to do the show again. Because I'm nearing the end of my academic career here at MU, I really felt that it was time to do something that was not only true to my own beliefs and issues that are important to me, but also something that would allow me to reach out into the community and to bring community and campus together. And the casting of this show has been able to do that.
That almost sort of gets to my next question as well. There's that idea that art imitates life. Mm-hmm. And there's, I think, a particular beauty to the way that that happens in live theater. And what are some ways, and you've kind of mentioned this a little bit, how this show and this particular work of art imitates life and brings to light important issues?
Well, one of the things that it does is it focuses on church politics. And those are... Church politics transcend all denominational and racial barriers. The characters are familiar, they just have different faces. And so the familiarity of the characters who populate the play is very accessible to everyone who comes to see it. Beyond that, the conflict between following your calling and balancing that with your commitment to family is a challenge for every believer. Where do we find that balance? How are we able to do both? How can you be completely dedicated to being obedient to what you believe that God is requiring of you, and then still balance that with your commitment to your children, your family, and all of that without losing either?
Big question here, but what do you think the answer to that is? How do you do that?
Well, it is a big question. When I was coming up, my mother always told us that your personal relationship with God is first. Your commitment to your family comes next. And then the work of ministry is third. Because if you sacrifice either of the first two, then the third one doesn't mean very much.
What do you think audiences can learn from this show?
Well, I think one of the things that I've been hearing, interestingly enough, is that there seems to be, as in other areas of our society, a double standard for women who are in ministry, that they are required, they're held to a higher standard, that what would be tolerated in the life and the actions of a man are not so readily accepted when it's manifested in a woman's life who's in ministry, in full-time ministry. The other thing that people have been speaking about is that there are no easy answers, you know, that life is complicated. And relations and love and commitment and dedication, it's complicated. even in the church, it's never cut and dry. You know, there are many challenges, and you just have to take it day by day and try to do the best you can and hope it works out.
And thinking, too, about just in directing a show that has a strong faith element into it, how do you sort of work that into rehearsals, and what's that sort of process like?
Well, one of the things that we do is we work with a dramaturg who focuses on the significant themes of the play. And we share those themes with the actors. So it's not just a matter of learning your lines and learning your blocking, but they have to understand the world in which the play is being revealed. And they have to understand the relationships and the characters. And so since this is a play that focuses on a church community, then the issues of faith come naturally into the discussion. Beyond that, interestingly enough, five of the actors in the play are ordained ministers.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
What denomination?
It just so happens.
Great. What denomination?
It just so happens. The Disciples of Christ, the Christian Church, a Baptist, I think that's it, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's and really
one,
neat.
Yeah, one that's non-denominational church.
So this is probably, I would imagine it's been something too, where they've been able to learn and grow a lot through it and sort of put their own experiences
yes,
in.
And see themselves and see their lives in the context of the play as well. Yeah.
So a lot of really deep personal connections, not just you, but everybody involved.
Yes, yeah. And we do have, you know, we have open prayer before every performance. So for those who want to join us, they can. But having so many ministers in the play, the prayers are really powerful. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How do you see, that sort of gets to my next question of, you know, being of faith and theater overall, bigger picture intersecting. I mean, in this case, on a basic level, okay, there are ministers in a play, but on a deeper level, what do you see as sort of the intersection between faith and theater?
Well, my immediate response would be that Jesus and his teachings understood the role or the value of performance because he spoke in parables, which were stories that had characters and situations. And he used that as a valuable and primary teaching method to reveal deeper spiritual truths. And so because in the theater, we believe that art is the recreation of life, or it is an artistic recreation of life, that it has the same potential, the same value to show us ourselves, to teach us life lessons about relationships and personal values, that it has that potential. I'm not saying that every theatrical production does that, but you can search out those scripts that have that potential.
If you don't mind sharing, what are some things that you've sort of learned about yourself through directing this show and through this process?
I've learned that particularly if you focus on Sister Margaret, that you cannot run away from your past. That if you have issues in your past, you can't hide those. You have to confront those. You have to deal with them. You have to surrender them and allow the healing to take place. And that's what was one of her problems, was that she was wounded. And rather than confess it and be healed of it, she covered it up. And it came back to get her. As a matter of fact, it's one of the lines in the play. She says she thought that she could just serve God and everything would be okay. But then she turned a corner and there was her whole life standing there in front of her. It's one of the lines in the play. So that's an invaluable thing to learn.
And do you have a favorite moment in the play? I know you just mentioned that one that was very powerful. Do you have a favorite moment that just gets you every time?
There are so many. Yeah. You know, I have some that I respond to on a very, very a deep personal basis. There's a scene in the play between the mother and the son where the son tells her that he just cannot play the piano in her church anymore, that he's leaving. He's joining a band and they're going on the road. It breaks her heart. You know, because she had plans for him to continue to work with her in the church, to grow up, become a preacher, take over her congregation. She had it all planned. But he tells her that if he stays, he would not be true to himself. And so he says, you know, Mom, you got to let me go. You got to let me be a man. It's time for me to be a man. I've got to go. And that's a real touching moment.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. And that's about all we have time for, unfortunately. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, this has been great. Thank you very much.